I am delighted to be chatting with a member of Team Ireland's Rugby World Cup squad and TikTok sensation, Anna McGann. Anna, how are things?
Good, thanks. Thanks so much for having me.
Of course, I'm so excited to chat with you because obviously I had a chat with your lovely partner, Grainne Walsh, earlier on, and I just learned so much from her and the little dynamic that you two had. So I was like, I have to get Anna on and I have to chat to Anna.
So fair. We'll see what she said and see if
I know, we'll compare. So
it's true.
the Women's Rugby World Cup, Ireland getting to the quarterfinals but getting beaten by France, a roller coaster of emotions, I'm sure for you because that is sport, but was it everything that you thought it would be?
Yeah, the Rugby World Cup was like just incredible. And I know like the quarterfinal didn't go our way and we obviously bowed out earlier than we wanted to, but I think the whole tournament as a whole was just it was huge for women's rugby. And I think we really saw how many people came out in support of us and in support of like all the teams. It was just unbelievable. Like we were playing in sold out stadiums where we've never sold out a stadium. Like it was crazy. Like it was such an experience. But yeah, obviously like the results didn't go our way and what we wanted to get out of it, we didn't really. But I think it was still a massive step forward in the growth of the game, especially for us and in Ireland.
Could you feel the support from home?
Oh my God, yeah. It was basically like having a home World Cup. Like it was incredible. I still remember when we walked out into the stadium against New Zealand, it was a sold out crowd of 30,000. And I actually would put my money on the fact that there was about 28,000 of Irish. It was just green. Like there was a sea of green everywhere.
Oh my God, that is so special. Did it kind of carry you throughout the match, even though things kind of weren't going to plan? Did it kind of lift the mood?
Yeah, absolutely. Like even throughout the whole tournament, every game we went to, there was just Irish everywhere. Like it was so incredible to see. And even the few days beforehand when you'd be going down to get a coffee, like people would be out in their Irish shirts for about 3 days straight. Like it was incredible. And I guess when it's so close to home, like everybody's families and friends could be there. But I think on top of that, we're nearly past the stage now where it's not just families and friends, like it's fans. We had just had so much support from Ireland in general. It was just unbelievable.
And did you have any moments where you got recognized going for your coffee?
We did actually have a few, which never happens to us. Yeah, I think there between that whole fleece situation and everything, you couldn't. The girls actually had to stop wearing the fleeces out because that's how people were spotting us and recognizing us.
My
So we all
God.
actually had to put the fleece away for a couple of days. It was so funny.
How did that whole thing begin? Because obviously, like the fleeces are lovely, but you kind of made them blow up.
It's actually so mad when you think about it. Do you know what? It's typical Irish. We love a fleece. Like we'll love a comfy fleece. But we were in, I think it was like week one. It was early on in the World Cup, and me and Eve were roommates for the whole thing. So we had jumped on the TikTok bandwagon, and to be fair, we got like a load of really nice kit for the World Cup, and we were like, oh, we'll just do a TikTok and show some of the kit, like, and we actually didn't even think about the fleece that much, and I didn't realize that it wasn't like on sale to the public. It was a fleece that Canterbury had just kind of designed last minute for us, so we'd have something comfy to wear around the hotel, like. So we did a TikTok that was in it. It actually went viral and people went mad for it. And I was like, what is going on? And we were sitting looking at the video, just jumping in views. And we were like, this is crazy. And people were just demanding that Canterbury release it because obviously, when they found out that they couldn't buy it, they were like, no, we need it. So then Canterbury were under serious pressure. And to be fair to them, they came through a couple of weeks later and they put it on sale. And then it sold out in an hour in typical Irish fashion.
Do you know what? I actually know a few people who've bought the
That's so
fleece.
funny. No, literally, like everyone. I see it like just walking down the street and I'm like, that is so funny.
Do you not feel like a little bit of pride? You're like, that's because of me and Eve.
Yeah, there's an element of that. You go, yeah, I did that.
Well, I know like the modern day salesperson is an influencer, but if things don't work out with rugby, at least you know you're a good salesperson.
Yeah, absolutely. Hop me in sales for Canterbury. I'll be sorted.
How do you kind of manage that then in terms of you're at a major championships, like there is a lot of downtime, like because obviously you're only playing once a week and you're training on top of that, but a lot of that training is just recovery and making sure that you're minding your body. So you have a lot of downtime, and then you and Eve just being roommates, being silly with each other, like that's how you're passing time, but then it blows up and it becomes something so big. How do you manage the pressure of keeping on top of your social media and like giving the people what they want while still being in the zone for the championships?
Yeah, it's like it's a good question because a lot of people actually asked that after the World Cup. They were like, did that take away from it at all? Like, how did you deal with it? But I think for me and Eve, like, we're so laid back and we're so like what you see on TikTok is just what we're kind of like in general. So there was never really a feeling of, oh, we have to do this because of X, Y, and Z. It was just we were doing them for the crack and we were putting them up, and whether they got views or likes or whatever, it didn't really matter because we were just like, that's how we were having a bit of crack in the hotel. So I think like it kind of just came across as people could see like probably the real side of us in the hotel, but it never really got to a stage where we felt like, oh, like we need to keep doing this. We, do you know, that kind of way. It was just more like, it's a bit of crack. It's keeping us entertained in the hotel. We're just going to keep going with it.
What about your coaching staff? How did they react to it?
They thought it was hilarious. Oh my God. They just thought it was so funny. We were going, like, you couldn't walk in anywhere without somebody referencing the fleece. Like, it was just, it was gas. And they're fully on board for it. Because to be fair, like, as chilled and as funny as it was, people actually were turning up to the games because of the TikToks and because they were seeing, like, that side of our personalities and stuff. And like I thought it was mad. After one of the games, a couple of girls came up to me and they were like, oh, we came because we saw your and Eve's TikToks and we wanted to meet you and stuff. And like, if a few like silly TikToks is going to grow the game and the reason why we have more support and more fans at games, then like we're going to do it. So yeah, it was just kind of, it was a bit of a mad one where we didn't deep it that much, but it actually ended up like doing really well and people ended up coming to support us because of it.
Do you think that's kind of the difference between the men's game and the women's game at the moment, is that like women actually have to try a little bit harder to put themselves out there to show people their personality in order to get people's attention?
I think it's more like the women's game and the men's game is so different in terms of the players and the, I guess, the fans that want to come and watch and attend. And I think that's why when you look at the women's game, like you're looking at the personalities on the pitch as well, whereas you're not really looking at that at the men's game. And I feel like it's probably not necessarily like we feel like we need to get our personalities out there a little bit more. It's just more of like a natural thing, I guess. I don't know if that's a female to male thing or if it's just the way that like we are, but I feel like it's more just an easier route. And because we're still growing the game and we're growing like women's rugby in Ireland, it's an easier route, I guess, to bring your personalities across and get people to support the game from that aspect. And then like once you get people at games, they realize like these games are actually really good and women's rugby is actually really entertaining, just like the men's. So it's more kind of just, it's trying to find different ways of like, I guess, opening people's eyes to the fact that women's rugby is actually really good, where that kind of old school mindset is probably that it isn't.
I had the pleasure of being able to work on the TV production side of things. So I was watching every match, I was working in the background. And what I loved about it is I also found you guys on TikTok. And I thought it was just for me as like someone watching the game, as you said there, like being able to see your personalities, I thought it was just so interesting to see how silly you and Eve are and like how hyper and kind of childish you are, and then to watch you on the pitch and see you guys switch on. And I think it's a really important thing for kids to see as well, because sometimes I think that the dropout in sport is because girls think they have to become this different version and they're not allowed to have a personality and they have to be really masculine and they have to leave all that fun girly part of them behind in order to be a sports person. But what you guys are doing is showing that you can have both.
Yeah, definitely. And actually, even at the the Her Moves, the Shine Festival last week that I was at, that was one of the huge kind of statements, I guess, was showing that like you can do both. And I think especially for rugby, because it is such a, I suppose, naturally masculine sport or male dominated sport, that girls do feel that they probably can't do both. And I think just being able to show that like you absolutely can. And just because what you do off the pitch does, like, it's not going to change how you are on the pitch. And like even some of the videos we were putting up, like get ready with me or whatever it was, and some of the comments underneath were like, oh, you should probably focus on the rugby girls and all this. And it was, no, it was probably middle-aged men that were commenting that, but they were just like, I always laughed at those because I was like, just because I video it and put it up on social media, it doesn't mean like it then gives you the right to criticize how we spend our time like off the pitch and stuff like that. I feel like it was a real learning curve for me as well, because no, it didn't bother me at all. Once again, probably just because I'm so laid back and I really don't give a crap. But like, I think it was more, it kind of opened my eyes that like I actually am showing like younger girls that this is like you can do this as well. Like you can be both. You can be fully focused and really switched on the pitch and rugby be your only focus, but then like when you're off the pitch, you can do whatever you want as well. You can wear your makeup, you can go to fashion shows, you can do whatever you want. So I think it was definitely an eye opener for me, and I guess showing the younger generation that you can do both.
Speaking about fashion, you have your own jewelry brand, Chaos the label.
I
Did you
do.
set that up while you were injured?
Yeah, so I tore my ACL in 2023. And I was out for, I think it was about 11 months in the end. So I kind of had always wanted to have my own brand and my own business. But it's one of those things that you're like, oh, is it just a dream? Will I actually ever be able to do it? And then when I tore my ACL, I needed something just to distract me outside of the rehab process because it's very intense. And then I kind of was just talking with my family, and they were like, well, you wanted your own business, you wanted your own brand, so why wouldn't you put in the work now to try and start it up? And then even if you don't get around to starting it up right now, like you've done the work so that maybe after rugby you can do it. And then sure, once I started it, I was like, no, this is absolutely what I want to do. You couldn't stop me. And I think it was 12 months later we launched. So we launched last December in 2024. So it's going to be a year old this December, which is
Oh,
crazy.
happy early
Yeah.
birthday.
Thank you. It's absolutely crazy. But yeah, it's something that I've kind of always wanted to do, and I've always really been into. And I had that realization, I think, when I tore my ACL that like rugby isn't actually forever and you're going to have something outside and something afterwards. So yeah, I couldn't be more thankful to my family for pushing me to do it when I did it. And yeah, here we are nearly a year later.
Does that not make you feel so proud that you took an opportunity where most people would perhaps like be really, really down and like upset that they're missing out on training, they're potentially missing out on the Olympics, which you weren't selected for, and then to be able to create something from that disappointment, like, does that make you feel so proud?
Yeah, absolutely. And the more I look back on it, the more I'm like, that definitely saved me on those really dark days as well, when my ACL wasn't going to plan and, you know, it was taking longer than it was gonna and all of that. So, yeah, I am just so grateful for my family and friends that kind of pushed me to do it. And it really got me through the whole rehab process because it was such a good distraction.
Yeah.
And looking back now, I'm like, I'm so glad I did it when I did.
Well, you definitely seem like the sort of woman who is able to take any situation and turn it into something great. The Rugby World Cup was so long. Like, you're away from home for so long. You were spending so much time with your team, seeing them every day. You were living with Eve, seeing Eve every day. How has kind of the come down been? Because obviously, once you come home, you're not seeing those people every day.
Yeah, it's such a strange one because even trying to explain it to people outside it, you're like, you're literally surrounded by the same 30 girls for 6 weeks on end. And that's not even including the training we did beforehand. Like, we went into camp in July for the World Cup. Sorry, in June, the start of June, which it's just like that's 5 months of just being around the same people all the time. And I guess you don't realize how accustomed you come having people around you all the time. So when we got home from the World Cup, Gráinne and I actually headed away straight on holidays for a week, which was so nice. And then, so I kind of knew I was prolonging the come down from the World Cup. And then we came home from holidays and she went back into training. And I was like, so what do I do now? And I think I had a day at home where I was like, oh my God, I actually needed to go to the coffee shop just to talk to somebody because I was like, I can't do this. Like, I'm definitely not an individual athlete. I don't know how they do it. Then I suppose it was Ireland Fashion Week, and then I actually have just been so busy with so many different events since that the come down probably is still prolonged. Well, yeah, no, it is. It's difficult to come home, and the build up, I guess, for the World Cup was like years in the making. So for something that there's such a long build up, and then it happens, and then all of a sudden it's over, and you're like, so like, what next? And we were so lucky that we've had like a really long time off. We had 6 weeks, which is probably the longest I've ever had away from rugby. So I'm very ready to get back at it and get back into training and just kind of be around the girls again.
Oh, that's so nice. It's so nice to know that the feeling to come back is still there because obviously you've so many other opportunities now at the moment, but the fact that you have that itch to get back means you're not done yet.
Yeah, absolutely. And I feel like that's probably the same way for most of the girls. And it's probably due to losing out on the quarterfinal and just feeling like we probably left a little bit out there. I feel like the itch is very much still there to get back at it and get prep for the Six Nations next year to really kind of show that we are in the top four in the world. So
Yeah.
yeah, I'm really, really looking forward to it.
Oh, well, Anna McGann, cannot wait to follow you along on your sporting journey, but also on your TikToks. Thank you so much for the chat.
Thank you so much.